Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. And welcome, everybody, to Happy Hour here. We've got Jonna Spilbor. We have Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Yeah,
he's
can't
throwing us off.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Totally. No, don't say
hello.
It. Don't
I'll say it. Just say hello.
Don't say we can't just say hello. We can't just say hi.
We are. That's
how's
what
it
I
going?
Said.
I know I didn't say anything about myself. I'm Frankenfella, like the audience, whoever listens to us. You already know who I am. You're not suddenly scratching your heads out there going, who's the dude? Hey, Marge, who's the dude?
No idea. The dude?
But anyway, we're here. We are back. And so what we're going to do here with this segment is we're actually going to talk very, very fast. Because John is like on a really tight
She's super
schedule.
Busy.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk really fast. It's still going to end up being the exact same amount of time it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Just nobody will be able to understand it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It'll be extra annoying.
Yeah. There you go. And we did say to John, Carol, whatever it is, we'll try to get you out of here in time so you don't run to your car, because we all know. If Jonna tries to run to her car, what's going to happen? Carol, talk to us.
Her shoes might disintegrate.
Exactly. Something's going to blow up under her feet, and then we'll have a story. Sure, entertaining for next week, but not going to be much help today when she's, face down in her driveway sucking up dirt.
Well, that did not happen. But I will say this, you guys, just because we're on a little bit of a shoe tear. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. So, okay. I happen to have several pairs of fabulous shoes. This goes without say. However.
But she said it.
But
right,
I said
exactly.
And one of the things that I do when I find a pair of fabulous shoes. Now, hang on. Let's define fabulous, okay? Fabulous shoes have to be A, comfortable for a minimum of 8 hours at a stretch. Right? Because I may need them. I may need to be in them for 8 hours at a stretch. Two, they have to look really cool. Okay.
All right.
And then three, there is no three. Okay. So
all right.
I have
wait,
a pair.
Wait what? A minute. What? Just before you go on.
Okay.
Do you honestly, I know you, if you have anything less than a 4-inch heel, that would be rare.
Correct.
Do you really own any shoes you would wear outside of your house, to court, to your office, to wherever, that are comfortable with a 4-inch heel?
I do.
And it's- or do you just tell yourself that they're comfortable?
She has a numbing spray she puts on her toes in the morning.
They are, right?
Don't talk to me until 5:30.
That's right. Give me that shot that they give pitchers when their shoulders hurt.
When I find a pair of 4-inch heels that are comfortable all day, I will get them in every color they come in. Mm-hmm. See, that's how you shop smarter, not
then,
harder.
Then you go out and mow the lawn. Yes, of course.
So, as luck would have it, I have a fabulous pair of 4-inch heel pumps. Carol, you would love this. They are pink. They are a good pink too. They're in nice. Between a pale pink and a hot pink. They're right there, like medium pink, right?
Pretty and pink.
But they also have, so the 4-inch heel at the bottom of it, meaning the part that hits the ground at the very bottom, has a little accoutrement. And I have these in three colors. I have pink, I have black, and I have tan.
I did none.
What? No? I thought I heard it.
Yeah, no, I did.
Oh, you sorry. Did.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so at the very bottom where the heel hits the ground, they have a little gold thing, a little gold, I don't know what you would call it. It kind of wraps around the bottom of the heel, like a little gold piece, a little extra,
panache. It's a gold tip. It's like a fella might have a gold tip on his shoe, on his own shoe.
Or on his tooth, like that.
Or on his heel if he's going to do some tap dancing.
So it's got those on each of the pairs. Well, yesterday I'm in court. I had a big, big day. I had Ulster County Court in the morning. I had a trial I was getting ready for, and then I had something in the afternoon. So I race out to Ulster County Court in the morning. I am getting compliments, guys, on the shoes. I am getting compliments from women. I am getting compliments from men. Everyone is remarking how much they love these shoes.
And I'm Hang on. Mm-hmm. Send a link, please. Go ahead.
Send a link?
To where I can get them.
Oh, no problem. Okay. And they're not even expensive. Okay. So I'm getting all these compliments and I'm like, wow, this is my day. Everybody's loving my shoes. So I get done with court. We have a successful morning. I get in the car. I do this. And then I had something else in the afternoon. I go there and I do that. And then I get back in the car and I go to the office and I finally go home and I'm getting out of the car when I get home. And I look down and something catches my eye on the floor of my garage.
Frankenberry, only she can make a shoe story dramatic.
I know. Seriously. I'm listening to the music in the back of my head right now.
Her voice gets deeper. She gets quieter.
Yep. Okay.
And as I look down on the floor of my garage,
I looked around the dead body.
What do you think I saw? I saw the gold accoutrement had come undone from one of my shoes and was laying lifeless on my garage floor. Guys.
That was the issue?
I probably walked around all day missing a gold accoutrement.
No, because it didn't fall off till he got home.
How do you know that?
Because it was on the garage floor, you said.
Yeah.
Right, maybe. But was it already on the garage floor?
Exactly. Exactly, Watson. When did it come off? Did it come off in the morning or did it come off in the afternoon?
It came off in the morning because you're not going to notice it if you get out of your car and you look down and there it is. You didn't step to the spot that you just suddenly looked down to and said, there it is.
And now I have to wonder if all those people paying me the quote-unquote compliment of loving my shoes were secretly laughing at me behind my back.
Yeah, they all said nice shoes and then they said bless her heart.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So I will send you the link, but be careful. Be careful.
That doesn't scare me. Are you kidding me? For our listeners who
exactly.
missed the night that my shoe soles literally disintegrated under me in a restaurant.
Yeah, so
you should post that.
Exactly. You just say, Carol, pshaw to every other shoe mishap because you've been there for something worse.
Her shoes... I still can't get over that. Like, she literally, you must have gone from walking like a normal person in shoes to 10 feet later, barefoot, because that's how much they fell apart.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't there a scene in the Flintstones where Fred Flintstone's driving the car, you know, and it had the stone wheels and they just started breaking apart and then there were no wheels? It had to be like that.
That sounds very Flintstones. Yes. I can almost see that in my mind right now. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, but my question is, did you not notice yourself walking with like a half a centimeter limp?
So that's the thing. I didn't notice it.
That's why I said half a centimeter, Jonna.
But you know why I didn't notice it?
Because she sachets, Frankenberry. She sachets. There's a lot of movement there. It was back and forth.
And you're mostly on your toes when you do that. You know, you really don't. You kind of just hover a little bit on the ground. You don't really land on the ground.
Yeah, and you're probably doing that classic one foot in front of the other walk, you know?
Oh, like a model walk?
Yes, yeah. So you're doing a little bit of that. So yeah, you're right. Definitely on the, definitely not as much on the heels.
Extra high knees. Like you just lift your knees up like extra high.
Right.
You know, way more than anybody else has to lift their knees up. I know. And now at least now I know that so I can protect it from happening from the tan ones and the black ones. And now I have to order a new pair of pink ones, which is fine because when I love shoes this much, I like to have a backup.
Yes, I find that very important myself.
The backup would have worked well for me a few weeks ago. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Not that you would carry your backup with you.
That's true.
Just by chance that they disintegrate under you.
With a pair of shoes slung over your shoulder. Table for two.
Well, I'm going to say, Jonna, that people certainly were complimenting you on your shoes, probably more so because of the pink part of them. I really don't think that people are complimenting you on your shoes because they're noticing a touch of gold underneath the heel.
I'm remembering a shoe story from a really long time ago when I used to work. I worked for a manufacturing company. I worked in human resources, and I had a pair of Foreign heels that had a bow on the back of the heel, like was part of the shoe, the same material. And the president of the company says to me, "What are those?" And I go, "Those are my sexy shoes." I wouldn't say that now, but this was a long time ago. He goes, "I think you should get a refund."
Oh my, no. Did he really?
Yeah. Well, oh, I mean, and we had like, we played a lot of pranks on each other. Like, it wasn't like I walked away like, "Oh, I can't believe he said that." But yeah, it's kind of funny.
I am mad for you. Although in this day and age, you can't have anybody complimenting your shoes or saying about your shoes in the workplace.
I'm right? So glad I don't work in an office setting anymore. I wouldn't be able to deal with the political correctness. I wouldn't do well.
But Johnny, you had all those people compliment you. So there you go. They were damning the torpedoes. They were saying, "That's it. I don't care about our current time. I don't care what day and age we're living in. I'm going to compliment that lawyer lady shoes."
Yeah, that's true. And that was kind of a workplace too, if you think about it. I mean, it's court, so it's like a community workplace.
This was your mildest of wardrobe malfunctions.
Yeah, on a scale, this was my most mild.
It's not like somebody said to you after you had done all your lawyerly stuff and you're standing up and sitting down and standing up and the pounding of the desk and the yelling, you know, whatever you guys yell when you're all upset and stuff. "I object." And somebody turns to you when you're all done. You're walking out going, "You've had toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe the entire time."
Done that.
Which has happened to both of us.
Right.
So anyway, that's the shoe stuff. I did want to tell you guys about my recent laundry room makeover.
Oh.
That was thrilling. This is what I want to do. Frankenberry, you only do the Facebook, I think, right?
Yes. When it comes, yes. I don't do the Instagram. No.
And also, you don't do the TikTok?
I don't do TikTok. I'll throw out a hip just watching it. I don't do Spotify. And I hate the fact that, you know, every time you go somewhere where maybe you might just want to listen to a little portion of a song before you're curious, you know, you're a little curious. You can't even do that.
Oh.
You know, it's the same thing with Instagram. That just makes me mad. That's the reason I don't have it. I'm like, but
well, then you won't understand or appreciate this. I think Carol will, though. So because this happens on the Facebook, but it happens a lot on the Instagram where people haven't come on, or maybe it's just in my algorithm. People come on and they with their favorite Facebook finds. I think that's even the term that they've coined. And they'll do a whole thing like, "Here's the list of my favorite Facebook finds." And they go through a whole thing. And it's a big carousel of lights that do this and storage that does that. And it sucks you in. Like, it really sucks you in. And then the whole idea is that, like, they'll send you their exact list so you can very easily go boop, 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 go to the Amazon and buy all the things. And I'm sure they get a commission off of it.
So on Instagram, they call it Facebook finds.
I mean, no, sorry. Amazon finds.
Oh, okay.
Everything's from the Amazon. And so I get sucked into that because it makes shopping even easier, as if it can be any easier than it is on Amazon. And I do all that stuff. And so I got inspired to make over my little tiny laundry room because it was a disaster. But here's the thing. Here's the thing they don't tell you when they're doing the whole Amazon finds.
Make over your laundry room? Did you DIY this?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. And but don't get me wrong, when you DIY a room, I have seen some of your work. It's fabulous. Like when you created Craig's office in your house. Right?
Yeah, that was fun.
Beautiful. I didn't go that far. I don't have that kind of talent. I just needed to get the junk out and have things put in place where I could hide the junk better. That was my idea of a makeover. And what they don't tell you when you get sucked into these algorithms and the Facebook finds, like, none of this crap comes already assembled. But I was bent. I was hell bent. I was going to get this done in one afternoon. And I ordered a big metal storage cabinet. I ordered what looked to be a very attractive black over-the-counter, over-the-washer and dryer countertop with an extra shelf for even more storage. I ordered a rolly cart, a narrow rolly cart, because it's a small space and I knew what I was going to put in there. And I had all these Three things came, and I'm going to put them together in one afternoon, and I'm going to take all the crap out of the laundry room and then put these things in and then put the crap back in better. It took me 3 days because you can't, some of this stuff said you need two people, and I was like, nah, they don't know me. I got this.
I've done stuff like that before.
It was such a pain in the patoot, but I did it, with the exception of the over the washer dryer countertop, which literally weighed 100 pounds. They don't tell you that when they're flitzing around on the Instagram carousel going, and boop, and here's a list. And boop, boop, boop. They don't tell you that it weighs more than you do. I literally had to put it half together in the little laundry room. I couldn't put the screws in place. So it's just kind of sitting there now. To the naked eye, you're going to be like, oh, that's a nice over the washer dryer shelf. But if you touch it, it's coming apart.
Cats will discover that.
Yeah. It's coming apart. But it looks a lot better. And I know maybe I'm anal this way, but when my rooms are in my house are nice and tidy and neat, and I know where everything is, like I always have this theory, like, okay, I want my whole house to be like, if I had to get on a plane and go someplace exotic, it would take me less than 10 minutes to pack. That's how I like to live my life. And just having rooms that are not in chaos allow me to do that. And so I feel a lot better. So it was worth the pain, but I want to do my own thing now on Instagram. I want to do like the anti Amazon finds, and I want people to see exactly how painful it is when you order this stuff. Now, it's not going to make me friends on Amazon. Jeff Bezos isn't going to call me up and go, oh my God, you're genius. I love you. Come work for me. No, he's going to be like, let's cancel her. But I think people should know the truth.
Oh, so it's not about how to organize. It would be.
No, what not to order. What to know? How about this? To know what you're in for when you order these Amazon finds, because you only see the finished product. You don't see the pain that goes into it. And that's false advertising.
Do you ever read reviews?
Now, who got time for that? I ain't got time for that.
The Amazon find files, Jonna.
I'm going to do them. The anti-Amazon find.
With sci-fi music. Nice. So it's funny that you mentioned that, by the way, and I'll mention this real quick. My sister recently, she bought not only a new dryer, but also a new washer.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And one of the things while this was happening, and I don't know if maybe somebody hit their head, but it was also kind of going, maybe one of the guys that brought the washer or dryer in. But overhead were, you know, what used to be the old overheads, one of those like workbench lights, the real long ones. You can buy LED.
Oh, yeah.
It used to have fluorescent tubes, but now you can buy LED.
Yeah. Well, oh, yep. Yeah.
It doesn't light up anymore. Now, my nephew said there's something wrong with the ballast. Now, the second he said the word ballast, I no longer knew what he was talking about. And all I said was, the light don't work.
Right.
And I just kept repeating that when he would say, oh, there's something. The light don't work. And that was it. I was done now. So we have to figure out something else. Because whatever you're telling me, whatever you're saying out loud, it's not doing nothing.
Ain't doing nothing.
Exactly. So I've had this lamp that I bought at Dollar General a while ago. It's about a foot tall. And basically, the lamp itself, the socket, is on the top of this foot tall little lamp. Inside is where the screw goes that keeps the socket on the top of the lamp, right? That came unscrewed. You cannot reach the screw with any tool. So now, basically, you've just got a socket hanging over like somebody shot it and it died. You know, like on top of the lamp. It just went, oh, I'm dead, really dramatically, and it folded over.
Dang.
So I'm down there now, and I'm trying to do laundry, and I can hardly see anything down there. And then I tried to play with the nut in there to try to tighten it up, and I'm like, I can't even reach it, not going to work. Then I realized I can pull the entire length of the cord out of the lamp itself.
Exactly.
We now, and I'm going to send you all a picture, we now have a fancy hanging light because I took the light and I hung it over a pipe above the washer. How genius and cool looking is that? Look at that.
God.
That's right.
Well done, you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And the other best part about all this is the washing machine, when it gets done, is the happiest washing machine that has ever lived a washing machine life.
Why?
Because it sings a song.
Oh.
It's like a sea shanty, minus the words. I'm not kidding you.
Frankenberry, I love that you were so proud of your creative work there that you took the time to take a photo, and it looks like a video.
Well, no, the video.
Oh, the video is of the machine, song.
Yeah, the video is of the washing machine singing a tune.
And my washer sings a tune as well. And my dryer used to have the world's most loud, repetitive, annoying buzzer to let you know. And there was no off button. So speaking of figuring out how to do things on your own, slid that dryer out from its home.
Oh, no.
Took the back off, went on the YouTube. And figured out how to disable the buzzer. So it doesn't do that anymore.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
That is genius.
And what manufacturers have done, because they probably got numerous complaints, they have just made it a kinder and gentler washing machine dryer world.
Yeah.
When you buy the new ones.
Speaking of kindler and gentler, I don't know. I don't really know how to segue this, but
we got nothing.
Yeah. Now,
coming up after the break, we're running a repeat interview with a very good friend of ours, Dr. John McGrail. He's a hypnotherapist. He's a super cool guy, brilliant, easygoing friend of ours. It's like one of the gang. And the reason we're rerunning his interview is he reached out to us recently and said, hey, I want to let you guys know that one of your listeners contacted me for some hypnotherapy and had amazing results. So love to hear the success stories. And when we come back from the break, we will be talking again with Dr. John McGrail about what is hypnotherapy? Like, how is that different than traditional therapy? Why is it he has such a high and fast success rate? So when we come back, we'll talk with him.
All right. That sounds good. For John Spillmore, for Carol Pesci, we've got the doc on the way. And yes, that was a fantastic email to find out the Happy Hour Show changes lives. We're on the way back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillborg, Carol Pesci, this guy. Thank you, ladies, again for bearing with me. And we've got a doctor in the house. And, when somebody calls for that, we often think of Dr. John McGrail, who we've had on numerous times here in the past, though it has been an extended period since the last time we talked to him. Dr. John McGrail, he's back with us.
Finally. I don't know why we waited so long. I think he is our most repeated guest of all time on this show. We have with us Dr. John McGrail. He is a clinical hypnotherapist, personal and corporate performance coach, and a spiritual teacher. He's rated one of the top hypnotherapists nationally and internationally. That's the beauty of the internet these days, people. On average, Dr. McGrail's clients see results in about half the number of sessions than would be required using only conventional protocols. He's the author of The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. And he's here today not to talk about any specific issue, although we might talk about having too many cats in your house at some point. But he's here to talk to us about what is hypnotherapy. I think some people think it's woo-woo or maybe don't fully understand it or afraid of it. And we want to learn more about it today. So Dr. John, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's always great to be with you two and three, sorry, Frank and Barry.
No worries. No worries. Happens all the time. Ask my family.
Well, it just goes back to my first visit when you were less of a host and more of a producer. But yeah, it's great to be back. Thank you so very much. And I'm the way you described me, my goodness, I'm looking over my shoulder to see where the guy is.
Oh, we think the world of you, and you always bring fantastic insight and advice to people, and you have such a warm, open way and great way of taking things that are complex and explaining it in a way that makes sense for us common folks. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. So let's start with the big question, Dr. John.
Sure.
You are a hypnotherapist.
That is correct.
Tell us what that is. Help us understand that.
Okay. The easiest way to describe it is to first say that hypnosis, which everyone has heard about, is a state of consciousness. Everybody with a normal brain experiences it every day, whether they know it or not. It's a natural state of consciousness. And it happens to be a state of consciousness in which we become very focused, usually very relaxed, and the mind opens up to new possibilities. And so it can be a very powerful tool. And a really quick example is anytime you watch a good movie or a TV show and have an emotional response to it, which almost all of us do, mm-hmm. you're actually in a state of hypnosis. The mm-hmm. movie is suggesting you feel a certain way. And because you've entered that slightly altered state of consciousness, you have those feelings, you have that experience. It's all subconsciously generated. That's all hypnosis is. Now, hypnotherapy is using that state of consciousness on purpose to help people bring change and transformation into their lives. That's it. It's a therapeutic use of a natural state of consciousness. And it happens to be very, very powerful and very effective when used correctly by someone who knows what they're doing and someone who wants to make the change.
So, Dr. John, I have a question about that because, sure. So I have a minimal understanding of, you know, the states of mind and the effect that that has on maybe goals that you want to achieve or just how you feel, et cetera. How does the connection between the therapy and the state of mind happen? In other words, like, is this as something like when you're in a state of mind, you're more receptive to things that a therapist will be able to tell you, or is it more basic, less basic? How is the connection made?
Well, the connection is simply helping. That's a really great question. And
I did not hear you. Could you please? I'm sorry. My mic. Can you say that again?
Great question.
Thank you.
Doc, do me a favor. Next time you do that with Jonna, have it come with a little paper hat and a large fry.
Okay.
Okay, but I do want to know. That's connected.
Well, no,
it is a great question.
And all of your questions are always great, all three of you. But essentially, you have to remember that most of our behavior, the patterns that we get into, the habits, the fears, the phobias, all the things that make us go, good and bad, are mostly subconsciously generated. We don't think about getting phobic about getting on an airplane. It just happens. I'm just using that as an example, fear of flying. Or someone who's smoking, yes, they're addicted to nicotine, but it's the behavioral and emotional addiction with habits like that that make it much more difficult to get over. And so when we use this state of consciousness we call hypnosis, theoretically, and as far as we can tell, it gives us access to that part of the mind that's creating the patterns. And you have to remember that the subconscious part of the mind, which is 90% of the mind in an average human being, is like a three-year-old child. It never grows up. It's very unsophisticated. And like any three-year-old, it'll believe whatever you tell it. And so once that three-year-old gets programmed, if you will, because it's metaphorically a lot like a computer, it just plays its programs. Okay, time to smoke. Okay, time to be afraid. I'm getting on an airplane. You don't do it on purpose. You don't say, you know what? In 2 hours on my way to JFK, I'm going to start having a phobic attack. It just happens. This state of consciousness allows us to work with that part of the mind. And if you will, very simply stated, we reprogram that internal computer. We teach that three-year-old that it's learned 2 + 2 = 5, and we teach it what 2 + 2 = 4 is. And of course, that's different for different people, but that's essentially how it works. It's much more powerful, generally speaking, than just conscious talk, because we're only looking at the top 10% of the mind when we're talking consciously. This is very, very deep, which is where most of our behavior and habits come from.
And then, Dr. John, does it follow that once you successfully do that and you communicate with the subconscious, do your conscious thoughts then change? Like, does that must happen in order for you to change, even though the change happens subconsciously? And you might not think that's a very good question, but...
No, John, I was going to say another great question.
You have to God.
I know. It's Jonna's day. What can you say?
All right, fine. Every day is Jonna's day.
you have to remember that when someone comes to someone like me for hypnotherapy, they have a conscious desire to make the change to begin mm-hmm. with. Okay, we can't make that happen. I can't make someone want to, just again, something easy, quit smoking. You have to want it. So what this process does is align the subconscious computer with the conscious desire. The thought's already there. I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be afraid of flying anymore. I want to lose weight. It doesn't matter what it is. We have that conscious thought. When we align the subconscious computer with the conscious thought, instead of an internal tug of war, which is going on, right? Think of a tug of war. We all know that game. 10 guys pulling one way on the rope. That's the conscious mind. I want to stop smoking. 90 guys pulling the other way. Sorry, this is our habit. Who's going to win?
Oh, wow.
So we align. Yeah, we reprogram those 90 guys so that everybody's pulling in the same direction. And with reinforcement, this is not magic. It does take work. It is a process. But we can undo years and years of ingrained patterns in a matter of weeks. And that's what's beautiful about this. It can work very, very quickly.
And I want to say two things on that. One is that is precisely what your book, The Synthesis Effect, is designed to do, is to help somebody do that themselves, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And then I forgot my second point. oh my goodness. It'll come back. So it makes complete sense that 90% of our behavior and actions are driven by our subconscious. And for, here's the other thought that I was going to point I was going to make. Though that three-year-old in us, so many of us have negative self-talk, beat ourselves up because the conscious mind, we know we want this to be different. We want to be able to take different habits, different action. And we've yet to be able to get ourselves to do that. And then we think we're losers or something's wrong with us because we can't do that. That three-year-old within us likely learned a coping mechanism at a very young age that was effective at that young age and now no longer serves us. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. Now, that's not true for every condition or every pattern, but yes, indeed, that's exactly what happens. And we do get very hard on ourselves because the intelligent, educated, mature part of the mind is saying, hey, come on, what's the matter with you? You should be able to lose 20 pounds. It's no big deal. Just change your diet and move more. But that subconscious computer, and this is a very good example with weight loss, because there are so many reasons that people are overweight and have issues, you know. And one of the things that I do when I'm working with weight loss clients is to let's dig down in there and find out why you let yourself get this way. Why are you being so unkind to your body? You're not doing it on purpose. There's no judgment. But once we know the why that occurred, for instance, this is one example. There are many, many. I work with a lot of women more than men who let themselves get overweight because it's a defense mechanism. If I'm overweight, I'm not attractive, and then I won't have to deal with relationships. And you would be amazed at how quickly it happens.
Wow.
It happens for both men and women, but generally women more. This is just one of many, many examples of the underlying causes. So we do have to find out what's going on in there often. And once we do that, it's just re-education in a way, but it's done in a way that it's natural. It makes it a simple process easy rather than hard for most people. It's all about mindset. And again, once we get the conscious mind or the subconscious mind in alignment with our conscious desires, and we work on that for a little bit, you have to reinforce it, then it becomes a new automatic behavior. For instance, I was a tobacco addict many years ago. I smoked, and 26 years ago, I think I quit. And you couldn't get me to put tobacco in my body today. But back then, it was like, oh, yeah, this is what I do. It's great. It's enjoyable. Blah, 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 blah. New program. Same person. Different program.
And on that, Dr. John, because I can relate to that specifically from a million years ago. But it does, for people who are wanting to change and feel like, oh, my God, it's going to be climbing an uphill battle. I don't have the time. I don't have the willpower. I don't have the whatever. Once you kind of cross over, and like I think you said, once your subconscious mind is in line with your conscious behaviors, it's beyond easy to maintain that goal that you, whether it's weight loss, like I did both. I quit smoking a million years ago and I lost 20 pounds, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. Easy as pie. Like you don't even have to think about it anymore to not go back to the way that you were.
Exactly. That becomes the new you. You create a new reality. And just to address Carol's point a few minutes ago, I did write my book, the first book, for that purpose, to help people do this process. And I have to say, For some, it works, and some people need a little extra help. And it's really interesting because we have this stigma in our society about getting help for these kinds of issues. You know, if your car gets dinged up, you take it to the mechanic, you don't think about it. You have a toothache, you go to the dentist. But God forbid you have an emotional or behavioral issue that's holding you back. Oh, you're supposed to suck that up and just get through it. I don't know where that comes from. But, and it is softening a little bit, but we just have this stigma about something being emotionally or mentally or behaviorally out of whack. And when you do get the help, if you get the right help, it's amazing how fast you can turn it around. And that's one of the reasons I love this process, is because literally we can take years and years of negative, unwanted habits, behaviors, fears, phobias, you name it. And within weeks, most of the time, it's a complete reversal. And you're right. Once it gets ingrained and you practice it a little bit, it becomes a new skill. It becomes the new you, your new reality. And that feels very good.
It sure does.
I can't even imagine how rewarding it must be for you to do what you do. You must love it.
I truly do. And I came to this through my own process of transforming my life many years ago. And I worked with a brilliant hypnotherapist who helped me in a couple of months get rid of years of negative habits and low self-esteem and a bunch of other things that were going on. I was a pretty messed up puppy in those days. And it worked so well that later on, when it came time to make a big career change, that's a whole other story and another show, I found this. And it is an incredibly rewarding thing to do, to just help people. And they do the work. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you healed me. No, I didn't. I just helped you find what's already in you. That's what this is about. We all have the resources within us to create the life of our dreams if we're willing to do a little work and we get the right assistance. And to provide that is an incredibly gratifying thing, which is why I'm still doing it 25 years later.
Dr. John, I have another technical question. When you are in that state of, I guess, hypnosis, so that you can do hypnotherapy, are you in? We were talking about something before you came on the show today. Is your brain in the alpha theta state? Like, is that where you're most receptive? Can you not be in that state and still get a result from hypnotherapy? How does that state of mind work?
Well, it is a change in the state of mind. Our normal active beta mode is what we do every day, walking around, just doing what we do. And then you go into alpha, which is, that's the first level of what we would call trance or hypnosis. It's very light, and it's just sort of nice and relaxing. Then we go to delta. And once you get down there, that's where the magic happens, because that's a very deep state of what we would call trance or hypnosis. Or meditation can create that same state of consciousness. So we're still awake and aware, but we're incredibly focused and the mind opens up. If you go one more level, theta, then you're asleep. We don't want to go there because if people fall asleep, then they can't hear what I'm saying. And if they can't hear it, they can't integrate it. So it's a fine balance. Very, very deep hypnosis is right before sleep. So you can sometimes not even remember everything that you heard consciously, but the subconscious part of the mind records everything. So there's never a fear or a risk of being taken over or having someone make you do what you don't want to do. You know, people ask that all the time when I'm on shows or when I do lectures, or even clients, can you take me over? You know, if I can make people do what I want them to do, I would do it. I mean, I'm honest. I would do it. Yeah. I'd have an army out there, and all, you know, all the stuff that we're dealing with today, all the problems in the world would be gone because I just have the minions take care of it. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Really? You would use it altruistically? What do you
think? Oh my God, yes. But I would also be the most benevolent ruler of the planet that ever existed.
Dr. John, can you give us, without obviously giving away anybody's names, some specific examples of some of your most rewarding cases?
Sure. There are a few that really stand out, and I'll try to give you different areas. Well, first of all, smoking, habits like that. I'm somewhere around 3,000 non-smokers now. And the success rate with my program, and I don't say this to boast, but it really does work very well, maybe because I went through it and suffered from it, but 98% success rate.
And wow.
After some prep work, there's some upfront work we do with a client, and it's a single session and that's it. They're done. I've had people lose well in excess of 100 pounds after two or three sessions because they get the right mindset. It doesn't go off immediately, but right. They get into that mindset where they're compelled to make the right choices. And when you feel that, not only do you feel empowered and then you start losing weight, that makes you feel more empowered.
Yep.
And a lot of relationship and issues. I had a young woman, this is quite a long while ago, who couldn't commit. She could not commit. Every time she'd meet a good guy, right as they got serious and, you know, it started looking like there might be, she would bail. She couldn't understand why. She wanted to have a relationship. And what we found out through working together over, I don't know, I guess that was about five or six sessions, is that she had a repressed memory. And once it came out, and it was a memory in which she had been very badly abused. And once we fixed that, within 6 months, she was engaged. And now she's got three kids and has been happily married for 20 years. These are the kinds of stories that make it so gratifying. And it's not just, it doesn't have to be that significant. It can just be everyday stuff that's just holding you back. Procrastination is a big one. And of course, in today's world, stress and anxiety, number one, so many of us, and with good reason, I'm afraid, are wigged out. You know, we're overstressed, we're anxious, and we're scared. And that, because it's probably the single most frequent issue I work with, is amazing. People literally turn themselves around in, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. That's over just a little over a month. Now, it's not always that quick, but very often it is. And so that's why this is such a great technique. And in the same breath, I don't want to go too far here or too long. Everybody has to remember that this is not a regulated profession. So you have to be careful with whom you work. It's very popular now and it's gaining popularity. And unfortunately, with that, you get a lot of fly-by-night schools that promise you'll be a clinical hypnotherapist in a 3-day workshop. Wow. So if you do seek out help, you want to just be careful and do due diligence like you would if you were looking for any other healthcare provider or doctor. And, you know, ask about training, ask about experience, and, you know, ask for client references, because you can get people that can't hurt you, but they also can help you and they'll happily take your money.
And then, Doc, let me ask you something. You had mentioned this couple of seconds ago about, you know, sometimes a victory will inspire the confidence to tackle. Do you ever approach some of your clients with the intention of possibly helping them solve something that's not necessarily the problem, but they need the victory in order to move forward?
Oh, yes. Great question, Frankenberry.
Frankenberry, good question.
It was okay. It's all right.
Yeah, see, thank you, Jonah.
The short answer to that is yes. I get a lot of people that come to me with, you know, a major issue, and then they also have a laundry list. And sometimes, again, this is why I vet every potential client to see where we should start, because if you start in the right place and you get that first victory, a lot of these other issues just start falling apart on their own. Think about taking a pyramid. And the keystone, the top of the pyramid, you turn that pyramid upside down and knock that top stone out, the rest fall apart. So often we'll work on something that is secondary to the main issue. And once they see how quickly they can resolve that, it already starts eroding that pyramid. It already starts falling apart, and then we can just knock it down very quickly. Well, so yes, great question. But again, you all ask great questions, which is why I love joining you guys.
Dr. John, I wish we could keep going, but we all have some time constraints. We're wrapping up here with Dr. John McGrail, author of The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. The wonderful thing about the internets these days, people anywhere in the world can work with you, correct?
Yes, I have. And this has been a long time, but I literally have clients all over the world. I just had a session this morning in Saudi Arabia before I joined you guys. So yeah, all we have to do is figure out time zones, which is usually doable. But that is the beauty of technology today with these platforms like Zoom, which is HIPAA compliant, by the way, so your confidentiality is assured. And that's my exclusive platform for remote sessions, which is all I do now, by the way. I work strictly remotely, and yeah, it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you have a quiet space where you can sit back and relax. We can see one another. The magic happens.
Wow. Okay. And so how can people learn more about you and connect with you if they're interested in working with you?
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, my website, of course, hypnotherapylosangeles.com. It still says Los Angeles, even though I'm not there anymore. One big word. All my contact information is on there. I have my YouTube channel, Dr. John McGrail, and my contact information is on all my videos. And there may well be, I'm in talks right now with a big network, but there may be a Dr. John podcast coming soon. So I'll
Ooh,
keep you posted
that'd
on
be
that
great.
one.
Oh, we would love that.
Oh,
And if when
fantastic.
that launches, let us know. We'll have you back on and then we'll promote that for you.
Absolutely. And then I'll have you two, three on as guests. How's that
Yeah.
sound? Yeah.
For hypnotherapy. Dr. John, before we let you go, I do have one more question for you. For people who are very, 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 very busy, if they did want to sign up for hypnotherapy, what is the weekly time commitment? Like, is it a half hour session, an hour session? Can you do mini sessions? What's the time commitment?
Okay, good. Another great question, John.
Oh, she's gonna roll.
I
I know,
know.
holy cow.
The average session is about an hour, and that's usually weekly to begin with. There's homework to do, but it doesn't take a lot of time, a few minutes a day, because if you don't do the homework and don't reinforce what we do in session, then we can't progress. But it's on average about an hour a week to begin with, and then as a client progresses, we adjust the frequency of sessions to their progress. So after two or three sessions, it might go to every 2 or 3 weeks, might go to once a month. That may be all they need. But yeah, average session's about an hour. And we always find a convenient time. That's not an excuse for changing your life.
Ah, boom. There you go, Jonna. Just an hour, not 19.
Drop the mic.
Okay. So I have one more question before you go.
Okay.
Is there a way you can help somebody who started by rescuing one feral cat and now has so many she will not tell you how many are in the house? Is that the kind of person you can help?
You can plead the fifth, Dr. John.
Well, remember, Carol, it's very important that the person and the issue, there's a desire to make the change. Some cat ladies and men are very happy with their little kitties. I personally will have one, and one for me is enough because we still get cat hair in our food.
Well, I think we're pretty much lost there, Doc, because she opened the door to her bedroom last night. So all hope has been tossed to the furry wind.
Oh man, Dr.
Don't
John, thank
you.
you so much for your insight and your time. And we adore you and we appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us.
My very great
Thank
pleasure.
you.
And I look forward to seeing you all again and not so long next time.
Agree.
Oh, definitely.
All
Thank
right.
you.
That sounds good. Dr. John McGrail, fantastic to have you back again. And Doc, by the way, not only will I take the French fries, but I'll also take a small kid-sized chicken nugget to go along with my paper king cap. So we've got more of the show on the way here. Again, for Jonas Pilbore, for Carol Pesci, and for Dr. John McGrail, I'm that Frankenberry fella, and we've got segment number three on the way. So stick around for that.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time, everybody, to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, and this fella. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Oh, you two are my favorite. That was beautiful. That was like a song.
Even though you tried to fake us out earlier in the show.
We didn't miss a beat, though.
Whatever, ladies.
We didn't fall for it, but
that's okay. So, hey, Doc John, you know what? You can listen to that guy anytime because he's always
I
got
love
fantastic
him.
Advice. And anybody that can explain hypnotherapy and make it actually sound like it makes sense and it happens, you know, that's something else.
He's so good, though. He's just so good at what he does. I love. We have a lot of smart guests that take kind of complex subjects and make them easy to understand.
That's my favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We get lucky. We get some really cool people that are brilliant in something that affects a lot of people in a negative way, and you figure out, ah, so I can handle it this way, or I can do this. And that was the whole point of us getting together to do this show. So appreciate him.
Yeah, and you know, and I appreciate all the guests because, you know, in the long run, when somebody's done listening to the show and they say to themselves, you know, what a fantastic guest that was, really smart person, really smart gal or fella, and I really learned something today, just by proximity, they might also think that I am smart. And that's and I can't tell you how much that has done for my self-confidence over the years.
Mm-hmm. You are smart, Frankenberry.
You're very smart, Frankenberry.
No, that wasn't me fishing for compliments, ladies. I'm telling you, it's real. Thanks. So
yeah, no, we know you don't fish for compliments. We know you only fish for fish.
That's it, man. Because I got cats. That's right. They gotta eat.
It's true. That's true. Oh, can I just give you a real quick cat update before we go?
Oh, please do.
Sure.
Real quick. So remember, a couple weeks ago, I caught 5 cats in one day. You guys remember that? That's like my record.
Wait, is it up to 5? I thought it was 4.
No, it was 5. I caught 4 kittens and I caught 1 adult. Ugly.
Okay, I'm just making sure that, you know, like the telephone story doesn't have you adding cats along the way.
No. So here's the goodish news about that. So Kim, the crazy cat lady who I've connected with, she is so good. She really is an angel. She tries, whenever I give her kittens, she will give them some aftercare to determine whether or not they're adoptable, because a lot of these feral cats, not so much, or it's very hard. It takes a little one-on-one to do that. Well, she contacted me just a couple days ago and said that she thinks that these 4 kittens are going to be adoptable. And that just made me so happy. So she's continuing to work with them. Ugly, the adult who was sick and had cuts and scrapes and was all beat up and is on antibiotics, he's still getting a little R&R, but he's getting better. He's not going to be adoptable. So he's going to come back to me in the not too distant future. But I was very, it really.
Well, come back to you outside?
Outside. Okay. Because he's fixed now. Okay. So, yeah. And there's no room at the end. But I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed that the 4 kittens will be able to actually get homes instead of having to be outside cats.
Well, there you go. And you never know. Maybe Ugly, now that he's fixed, he might just enjoy that that being inside the house thing, man. That's what happened with Grayson.
She's not going to bring that one in.
I'm just telling you, he might find himself comfy inside.
Are you volunteering?
If there's ever a chance. Well, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Oh. And you guys know that I can't adopt an ugly cat. I can't have any ugly cats.
There's no such thing as an ugly cat, Schoolboy. You just keep telling yourself it's an ugly cat, so you can't adopt it.
I can only love the cute ones. I can't love the ugly ones. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Whatever, lady. All right. Well, anyway.
Kids.
Yeah. Doc John, thank you again for joining us. And as we say all the time with our repeats, even though you didn't know it, we much appreciate it. For Jana and Carol and myself, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back again next week. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.